This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For me to have gotten in the winner's circle after the years I've had past few years was, I didn't really understand. I didn't really know if I'd ever get there again. And lo and behold, I got there again. So to me, I'm still working on it, still trying to get better. I'm still trying to win more events. But I think that winning at Eastlake confirmed to me that I can still win again.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Okay, I'll just be honest. I'm a little bit worried about half our audience hitting snooze and going back to sleep with that beautiful Masters music that's associated with golf's first major on CBS and the voice of Tiger Woods. This is really the road that he's taken to try to get ready for the Masters, and it included a win last year again, but he hasn't had a major win since 2008. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, and we're so pleased to welcome our friend Matt Adams from the Golf Channel and the nationally syndicated Fairways of Life. And Matt, when you think about the Tiger Woods question, there's always so much more to it than just, oh, how does this game look right now? However, how set up is he for Augusta National this week?
Better than in the last few years. What's going on, Amy? Do you know, to talk about that theme music for the Masters for a second, mm-hmm. There's actually words to that song.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
I didn't know it.
I can't recount them. I don't know what they are, but I have it somewhere. It's on. I have an old, what do they call it, 45, the old records, the little records. And
yes.
Someone gave it to me, and I have it in a bookshelf. And so there are words in that actual song.
Amazing.
Someday I'll listen to that if I can ever find the old record player. Tiger Woods he's a different Tiger Woods than he was when he was at the height of his run, and however you define that, because there's different eras, different chapters, different Tiger Woods, interestingly enough, changed his swing multiple times along the way. The difference with this Tiger Woods right now is that he is playing, and don't get me wrong in this because I don't mean this to be disparaging, he's playing like an old Tiger Woods, not like Tiger of old. And what I mean by that is that Tiger is not playing the power game anymore. He knows that he can't outdrive the whole rest of the field. He knows he can't take it over the corner here and do things that Tiger used to do in his youth that blew away fields. There are players out there consistently longer than he is. What Tiger is he's very crafty. He's actually backed down on his efforts to generate ball speed and club head speed. He's actually finding, as a result, more fairways. His iron play is exceptional and always has been. And he defied, literally, the critics with a wedge in hand around the greens when they declared him, dead and gone, that he had chipping yips and he wouldn't be able to recover from them. Well, mm-hmm. He more than recovered from them. The only concern, however, with Tiger is that he hasn't been on the same level as he was where we ended last season. He just referenced in that sound you played winning the Tour Championship. Well, you know what? That was at the end of the summer, and he has yet to reach the heights of where he was then. The hopeful sign for the legions that are fans of Tiger Woods is the fact that I think everything that he's done from that point that he won up until today has been about getting ready for this event. I think he's tried to conserve his energy. I think he ran out of gas at the end of last year, and I think we saw it at the Ryder Cup. I think everything that he's doing, every step he makes, every time he wakes up in the morning, it's about getting ready for the 4 days that live before us, and it all kicks off today.
You know what? I was stunned. I will admit this. I had no idea that Jordan Spieth had dropped to 33rd in the world. That seems crazy. But mm-hmm. I know he struggled a lot, and not just making the cuts, but Saturdays have been the bane of his existence, it seems like, in 2019. So what's wrong with Jordan's game?
Well, Jordan is Jordan. He's always been kind of like a cat on a hot tin roof. He's always kind of jittery and the way he carries himself. I believe that the difference between Jordan that was dominant and contending almost every time that he teed it up and the Jordan that exists right now is that the Jordan that exists right now is searching for the elusive. He's playing swing instead of playing golf. Having said that, however, Jordan has the ability to slip into Jordan Spieth superhero costume when he comes out and does things that seem to defy anything that he does in the chapters that surround the novel that he's writing during a particular major championship. So, and especially this major championship, where if you look at his record over the last few years, I don't think he's finished outside of fourth, and he's led multiple times.
Right.
So I have a feeling that Jordan, when he steps to the tee at Augusta National, all that other stuff goes away. And I think that Jordan is going, just like you saw last year at the Open at Carnoustie, where for three or four rounds he was contending, he was leading, he was marching potentially towards another major championship. Finally, the sand ran out of the hourglass in the final round. So I have a feeling with Augusta National that, just similar to Tiger, even more dramatically in the case of form that Jordan's coming in with, however, is that he's going to find himself amongst the greens and the hills of Augusta National, and he's going to do things that we're used to Jordan Spieth doing. Whether that will continue the next time he tees it up is the big question, and I'm inclined to doubt.
Matt Adams of the Golf Channel and also the nationally syndicated Fairways of Life is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio, previewing the Masters, which begins in just a few hours, as a matter of fact. One of the things I've loved about the Masters in recent years is having first-time winners and recognizing how it completely alters a career arc. It's a little bit like winning Daytona in NASCAR. Even if you never win again, it changes your career. It changes you. So we've got a bunch of very accomplished golfers who've never won at the Masters. What's one golfer that you think could be a first-time winner this week?
Well, the prominent one, the one that's also the favorite in everyone's minds, is Rory McIlroy. He's searching for this win at Augusta National, which would also complete for him a career Grand Slam. He's got great form coming in. He already won. He won the Players. I think the concern with Rory McIlroy, if there is one, is that his driving accuracy is still not good. I mean, in the third round of the Players, they had the rough so manageable up there that Players could get an iron behind the ball almost regardless of where it was. You know, he was barely in the 30 percentile in terms of driving accuracy on that day and still went on to win. There's a lot of places you can't do that. Now, the rough isn't massive at Augusta National either, mind you. However, there's not too much that you can do about the pine trees. There is technical differences there between that and the TPC Stadium course. So if he mires himself in those woods, he's going to have to play punch-out shots, and he's going to lose half a stroke to a stroke on a hole as a result. That's where my concern lies for Rory McIlroy. But in terms of, other than that, how he's playing, he has so much better control of high-lofted clubs this year statistically than what he's done in the past. He's three times better than where he had been. He was mired somewhere around 150 and higher in ranking on tour in terms of anywhere from 150 yards into the green. He still has an anomaly that the closer he gets to the green, the more trouble that he has with those clubs in his hands.
Right.
Ranked like 180th from 75 yards. But you need that at Augusta National, especially if you have his length. And we've seen some quirky decisions made in the past with a wedge in hand for Rory, but Rory still is the most favorite of the Players, but there's a lot of players with form.
I have to ask, because your tweet caught my attention. On your show, Fairways of Life, you had 1956 Masters champion Jack Burke, and you said that this is one of your top five interviews of all time. So what did he say that was so impressive?
Well, first of all, when you're talking to someone that accomplished something more than 60 years ago, when virtually everybody else that was in that field is dead and gone, and he wins in 1956, which was at the height of the reign of some iconic, you're talking about pantheon sitting golfers of all time like Ben Hogan and Sam Snead. Mm-hmm. I had to find out what it was like. You remember, he beat Ken Venturi. To this day, he has the record for the largest comeback at the Masters. He started that final round 8 shots back of then amateur Ken Venturi, overtook him and won the tournament. Now, part of that was because, as they say, Amy, you needed help at the top of the leaderboard, and he got it because Venturi shot a final round 80 consumed by the moment. But one of the things that we spoke to Jack about the other day, you could find it, in fact, it's on fairwaysoflife.com. One of the things we spoke to him about was, what was it like to play with hickory-shafted clubs? Think about that for a second. This is a guy that grew up with, learned to play golf with hickory-shafted clubs because that's all there was. And we just talked to the guy. The guy's still with us at 96 years young.
Oh.
So it was just those kind of experiences that you cannot get anyplace else.
Right.
He's a human bridge to an era, to the past, and that was the thing. And then one of the things I did was I said, Mr. Burke, I'd like to throw a name at you, and you tell me the first thing that comes to mind. And I went down the road. Walter Hagen, Gene Sarazen, Bobby Jones, Bill Palmer, Ben Hogan, Sam Snead. Think about that for a second. I'm getting a chill even recounting the story with you. It was really cool.
Well, good. Since my grandmother just turned 97, this interview absolutely appeals to me. So I'll go back and check it out. Really quick, before I let you go, maybe 45 seconds. For people who've never been to Augusta National, don't know what it's about, why is it so iconic? Why is it so unique?
Well, it's one venue that's had the same event since 1934. That's first and foremost. As a result, it becomes part of all of our lives. I know you play golf, Amy, and you know that the Masters Forever has been the start of your golf season, just like everybody else that lives in the snow belt, even though I know a lot of people get nasty weather today around the northern tier of the country. But that's the primary thing. It's a part of us, we're a part of it, and it's a course that we know, and we remember the history that took place there.
Awesome. Always enjoy having Matt on the show. You can find him at Matt Adams, F-O-L, and his show is Fairways of Life, nationally syndicated. So there are links on his Twitter. You'll also see him on the Golf Channel over the weekend covering the Masters. Matt, always appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Amy. Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.